Baruchim Abayim B'Shem Hashem. It's really my honor to be the concluding speaker from Midrashet Yom Rishon this year. And Yishar Koach to all of those who came today, because it's just a few days after Shavuot. We've all been studying and learning all of Shavuot, and Shavuot is really about commitment to Torah. So the fact that we're all here this morning, here to learn Dvar Hashem just a few days later, really is a great comment about everyone sitting here and about our community in general. So I want to give everyone Yishar Koach. I also want to give a shout out to the Arbisfeld family because they really are great supporters of Midrashet Yom Rishon, and they're also friends of the family and in my neighborhood, so we really want to thank them. Mikerev Lev. Today we will analyze the awesome and magisterial language of Tanakh, Dvar Hashem, especially in Sefer Shmuel, and the message that's embedded in the words of the Navi. So we are going to be looking through the stories in Sefer Shmuel that really describe the ascent of David. And what we'd like to do today is to see what is the development of David in Sefer Shmuel, what are his inner struggles, what is his greatness, and how does the Navi really portray this ascent of David. We're starting at number one in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tet Zayin. And we're starting with the anointing of David. The first time David comes onto the scene, that's where we're beginning. Vayomer Shmuel el Yishai hatam wanarim, vayomer ot shaar hakatan vihine ro'e batzon. When we're introduced to David, we're introduced to him as shaar hakatan. He's the smallest, the youngest. Vihine ro'e batzon. He's a shepherd. And that's very interesting, which means he's fitting already into the category of ro'e. Many of the leaders of Am Yisrael were shepherds. You understand that this is a contrast to Shaul HaMelech. Shaul was really an Oved Adama, we see him Basadeh, and also he was looking for the Chamorim, for the Atonot, right? But we don't see him as a Roeh, and unfortunately for Shaul HaMelech, in the introduction story when we meet him, he does not find the Atonot, which means we're already seeing in the original story about Shaul already echoes of the fact that he will not be a successful king. So the question is, what is it in the story of David and all the introduction that we have that really says to us the history and the future of David HaMelech, or what are his struggles? Just like with Shaul, we see his struggle with being an anav, his struggle with hiding, his struggle with being a public figure are very important for Shaul HaMelech. So too we're going to see that in all these stories, before David really becomes king, he's anointed in the first story we see him, but he doesn't really become king yet, right? We are going to see what really makes David HaMelech. And we're going to see the language in the Pshat, we're going to see what the Midrash says about him, and we're going to see some very important comments of the Parshanim. So the first time we meet David, right, he is small and he is a Ro'eh Tzon. Shmuel HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi came and he wants to anoint the next leader. Hashem does not tell him who he is, which Shaul, right, Shmuel already knows. He's told the day before, right, of Shaul's arrival, but when Shmuel comes to David's family to anoint David, he doesn't know who to anoint. So he is paraded, right, all the other sons, and he doesn't know who to anoint. He thinks each one is a candidate, and Hashem keeps telling him each one, no, no, no. Finally, right, Shmuel asks, if everyone I saw is not a candidate, right, who is left? So they say, yeah, Shar HaKatan V'hine Ro'e Batzon. So the question is, how is David described to us? So we see he's Katan, he's a Ro'et Son, but look at Pasuk Yud Bet. When they send him in, he's Admoni, he's ruddy, right? Either a ruddy complexion or redhead, but most translations are he's ruddy. Yefe'inayim, he has pretty eyes, or V'tov Ro'i, and he's good looking, right? That is the image we get, as opposed to Shaul, who's tall, you know, very impressive, right? Mishichmo v'mala. The question is, what is it about David that we are being told here? What does it mean, Admoni, Yifei Naim, V'tov Ro'i? And right when he is presented, Hashem says, Kum Shachehu, he is the one who's going to be Melech. And what does Shaul do? Shmuel do? Shmuel takes the Keren Shemen, the horn of oil, and he anoints David Bekerev Echav, amongst his brothers. Now, there are two very important themes that really relate to David HaMelech. We are only going to describe one today when we're talking about this linguistic. There are many, but within this track, we're going to be discussing one. And the question is, what does it mean when he is described, Admoni im Yifei Naim v'tov Ro'i, and he's amongst his brothers, he's within the bosom of his family? We're going to see that many of the descriptions of David are going to correlate and correspond him to Yaakov Avinu, which means we are going to see that the way David is described in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel is to define David as a Yaakov type, as opposed to an Esav type. And yet we're going to see that David is really an integration and a synthesis of both. These two elements are constantly warring within David HaMelech. And that is going to be the great insight of the Midrash, which we're going to read right now. And we're also going to see that that is really borne out by the Psukim and the language and the development of David. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Even though there is also a whole way to describe David within the Yosef category, also linguistically, and one does not really, you know, conflict with the other. But we are going to do this Yaakov track because that is the main view that we're going to see with the insightful comment of the Midrash. How is David also described for us right off the bat? We're still in the same parak, right? When Shaul receives this Ruach Ra'ah, Right after David is anointed, Shaul is always disturbed, and he has a Ruach Ra. They figure, how can we help Shaul? And what are these suggestions? We're going to find for you someone who plays music, who knows how to play, and the minute you get into this Ruach Ra, right, you are going to have someone play music, and then Vitovlach. He will improve your mood and your situation. So then they want to describe and suggest, right, David to come, and look how he is described. We're in Pasuk Yudchet. He is Yodea Nagen. The first thing we say about David is that he plays music. He knows how to play beautifully, which means that is the first strength that is mentioned. Gibor Chayil, he's accomplished, right? Ish Milchama, he is a warrior. Navon Davar, right? He is wise in speech. Navon Davar doesn't mean that he's smart only, right? It means wise in speech. Lo ish dvarim anochi. When we say it about Moshe, it's about his language. So what is emphasized about David? We have these two elements. We have the idea that he is musical, which is definitely seen more as something from the sensitive, insightful side. Navon Davar, he speaks well, right? But he's also ish tor, right? He's good looking. The Hashem Imo. Six amazing qualities in David, but each one really can be seen either as a beautiful synthesis together, or of these all elements that are really fighting within David. And the question is, what is going to really come to the fore when we discuss David? And what happens, right? So Shaul is so impressed. This person is really going to help me. On the other side, obviously, he has all the characteristics of the next Melech, so he's going to be great competition as well. So Shaul sends for David. Look at Pasuk Yutet. Vayomer shilcha elai et David bincha asher batzon. Send me your son who is with the sheep, which means David's main role from the beginning we saw, hinero et batzon, and also when he's called, is that he's a shepherd, which means most of these characteristics about David were mainly developed and already shown when he was a ro'etzon. And our question is, how can you show all these kind of elements and all these strengths when you are a shepherd? And we're going to see if we can find that out. And what happens when Shaul has a ruach ra'ah? David takes the kinor and he plays it, right? And what happens? Shaul feels better. V'tovlo v'sara me'alav ruach ha'ra'ah, which means David is effective. When he plays the musical instrument, he is able to really make it better for Shaul HaMelech, which means till now, even though it tells us he's a Gibor Chayil, it tells us he's an Ish Milchama, his main vocation and his main strength that is emphasized and already documented is the idea of Ni'im Zmirot Yisrael, is the idea that he's Yodea Nagen. And I want to bring the Midrash. Look at number two. What does it mean when he's described as Admonim Yifei Naim V'Tov Ro'i? Now we all know, when you read the word Admoni, what does that really remind you of right away? Esav, right? And we're going to see that that is exactly what the Navi wants us to understand when we are describing David. On the one hand, he's Admoni, he has Esav. On the other hand, he's Yifei Naim V'Tov Ro'i. Look at the Midrash. When Shmuel sees all the boys coming, and he thinks each one, and then he finally sees David, what does he think in his mind when he sees David that he's Admoni? He says to himself, look at line 2, Amar af ze shofech damim. When Shmuel saw David, right, as the candidate for Malchut, he says, af ze shofech damim. He is a warrior, he's a murderer, he's a killer, right? He sheds blood, right? Just like it says, Vayetzeh harishon admoni, which means he's really Esav, right? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer him? Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu im yifeh einayim. He is a warrior, and he can shed blood, but he has yifeh einayim. What does that mean, yifeh einayim? The David midat Sanhedrin hu horeg. When David goes out to war, he kills by the word of Sanhedrin. But Esav midat atzmo hu horeg. But Esav kills indiscriminately. It doesn't mean, right, that you can't go to war. But what are the rules of engagement? David does it according to the rules of the Sanhedrin. Esav does it indiscriminately. Whoever he wants to kill, that, that's small. Everything is his own opinion in this. And now we understand beautifully, right, how was Yitzchak even thinking of choosing Esav? Because even though Esav saw that he's Admoni, and he knew that he was Ish Tzayid, because that's how he asks him to bring him food, but he's also Ki Tzayid Befiv. And again, we're reading this according to the Midrash, which means what did Yitzchak also think about Esav, Kitzayid Befiv. According to the Midrash, what's Kitzayid Befiv? Right? He constantly was asking him halacha questions. Which means, what did Yitzchak think about Esav? He is the ultimate synthesis. On the one hand, he's a warrior, right? He goes out to fight, but he also has Kitzayid Befiv. He also has, right, the right questions. He's intellectual, he's insightful, he's sensitive, right? So if that is true, then Esav would have been an ultimate leader of Am Yisrael. And that is the potential that Yitzchak saw in Esav. What did Rivka see? That Kitzayid Befiv was a fake. Right? It really wasn't that was the essence of David. So this Midrash is beautiful, because what is it saying about David? When Shmuel saw David, that he is Admoni, what did he think about him? He thought he's also Esav, and Esav could never be rehabilitated in Tanakh. And what does Hashem answer him? No, you're only seeing the externals. He also is a warrior, but what drives him? What is his inner life? He is Yifei Einayim V'Tov Ro'i. He will always do it according to the law. He will always do it according to Sanhedrin. And the Malbim takes this a step further. Look at the Malbim in number 3. What does it mean, Yifei Einayim, but also Admoni? Let's start with line 2. V'hu b'tivo muchan l'shvichat damim. Which means he really is ready to shed blood and to murder. U'mitzad acher nireh bo gamken roshamim tovim. Which means he has these two things always in the balance. On the one hand, he can shed blood, but on the other hand, he also has a lot of good elements. What is the yifei einayim? Al shamoreh, line 3, right, in number 3. Shehu chad ha'iyun v'tov ha'mezeg. He is sharp, insightful, he can analyze things well, and he also has good personality aspects, which means he is a great synthesis. He is that Renaissance man that really has all these different parts. But instead of them being integrated yet, what are they? These are two conflicting personalities. These are two elements that are warring within David. But what will be the outcome? Look at the fourth line. When he thinks logically about things, and he's able to think about them in a rational way, he will always pick mishpat utzdaka. Right? And b'teva ha'adminiyut hanetu'a bo yishtamesh lilchom milchamot Hashem. Which means, and what will he use his warrior side for? To fight God's wars. Which means, when he's thinking rationally, he will be a great asset. He will always do mishpat utzdaka. But he also has this ability to fight, right, and destroy all the enemies of Hashem. And if he's always, according to the Malbim, if he's always in control of this bloodlust faculty, he will be a great leader to Am Yisrael. But the implication in the Malbim is what? If David is not able to control this ability to be a great warrior, to go out and fight, and this admimut, then we really might be in trouble. And what we're going to see is that the psukim bear that out amazingly. Which means this inner conflict between, right, David as a Ne'im Zmirot Israel, Yodea Nagen, Ish Hashem, Ish Nevon Davar, a speaker, versus, right, the warrior element, when they're integrated, David will be a great leader from Am Yisrael. When there is conflict and one is chosen, which means the warrior is chosen over the other, then we're in trouble. If we see the language, right, and the Dvar Hashem is going to be really more emphasized, that is the greatness of David HaMelech. That even though he has all these other elements, he's the ultimate synthesis, the ultimate Renaissance man, and as a result, that's why he is one of the greatest Melachim of Am Yisrael, because he has that great synthesis between these two elements. So, now we're going to start. So, the first actions that we see David doing, we're at number 4, right, is his challenge and confrontation with Goliath. We're number four. Vayetze ish ha-beinayim mimachanot plishtim Goliath shvo migat govho shesh amot vazaret. Goliath is massive. He is tall, right? And he is wearing, look at Pasuk Hei Zayin, he has armor, and he has every single kind of warrior paraphernalia that you could think. Which means everything about Goliath is his height, right? And also all of the armor that he wears. And look at Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yitzayin, we're number five. How is David described versus Goliath? He's Hakaton, right? He's the smallest, right, among his brothers. And all his brothers went to fight, and he is the smallest. So I would like to show that, as we saw in the Midrash, the allusions to Yaakov are really threaded throughout the story of David. Is he Yaakov or is he Esav? And that's what we're going to do right now. So first we have to read a little about Yaakov and Esav to see if we can bear this out. Vatikach Rivkat Bigdei Esav Bna HaGadol. When the Esav-Yaakov conflict, who is the Gadol? Right? Esav, right? And who is Bna HaKatan? Yaakov. Let's go on to the next page, right? Back to David. David is going, right, back and forth from Shaul, and he is Ro'et Son Aviv, which means still, what is the image we have of David? A second before he's about to vanquish Goliath, he is still a Ro'et Son. That is the persona that we want to see about him. And what does he do? And what does Goliath do? Goliath comes every day, morning and evening and all 40 days, in order to really confront Bnei Israel. And according to Radaka number 7, why does he come every morning and night? Obviously the pshat, just because every morning and night he wants to really confuse them. But he also wants to destroy their concentration in Shema, their religious concentration, and he also wants to undo the 40 days that Bnei Israel had at Har Sinai, according to Radak, right? According to the Midrash. But what's the point? Goliath is really trying to undermine the religious essence of Am Yisrael. Goliath is coming to really say that my gods, right, are more powerful than Dvar Hashem. Let's go back to David, right? So we have to see what this conflict is. So this is a religious conflict. So how is David described? Number 8, when David comes to the battlefield, we already saw he's called Hakaton, right? He comes to the battlefield. Number 2, Vayitoshet HaKelim Me'alav. What does he do? The minute he comes to the battlefield, right, he throws off all of his baggage, all of his paraphernalia, all of his stuff. Which means, what is the image of Goliath? He has all of his stuff, his armor, he's tall, he comes into battle. And what is the image of David? He doesn't need stuff, he doesn't need baggage. It's only David, it's his essence, which is really going to defeat Goliath. And what happens? Look at number 9, in Pasuk Kavav, right? Constantly, what is Goliath doing, right? He is cursing Hashem Elokei Israel, which means we're setting this up as a religious conflict. Goliath, he is symbolizing the Plishtim, the Philistine way of life. He's wearing armor, he's tall, everything is going to be through physical strength. And what is David? He is small, right? He has no physical strength, at least, you know, outwardly in this way. He is getting rid of all of his baggage the minute he comes to the field, which means he doesn't need baggage. And number 2, we're seeing that this is a religious war. Goliath is constantly, right, undermining the God of Hashem. So look what happens, and this is important. In Pasuk Lamed Daled, when after David says, I am going to fight with Goliath, David answers, right, to Shaul, because Shaul thinks, how are you going to fight Goliath, right? You are a little guy. He is a warrior from his youth, right? So David says, you know what? I was a Ro'etzon. We're in Pasuk Lamed Daled. We're number 9, Pasuk Lamed Daled. He says, I was a Ro'etzon. And when I was a Ro'etzon, right, Ba'ari Yadov V'nasas Semea Eder, a lot of wild animals came and wanted to attack my sheep. And you know what I did? V'yatzati Acharav. I went proactively, right, and attacked the animals, and I fought them and wrestled with them barehanded, so much so that I held the, you know, beard of the animal, and I killed him with my bare hands. And he says, just like I killed all those animals, I will kill this plishti, asher cheref ma'arechet Elokim chayim, who is always denying and desecrating, right, the name of Hashem. So Shaul responds, right? How could you fight against him? Obviously, you are going to need armor. And this is where we see the Tanakh mentioning language and words in a very specific way. Pasuk Lamed Chet, what does Shaul dress him? Of course you can't fight him barehanded just like you did the sheep. Of course you are a, you know, Ro'ek Son, you're a shepherd. How could you fight against, right, Goliath, who is an Ish Milchama Mine Urav? So what does Shaul think? You need help. And what's the help that you need? Vayalbesh Shaul et David Madav. He gives him his armor. He gives him his Kova Nechoshet. He gives him Shiryon. What is Shaul trying to make David into? Goliath. He is trying to make him into Goliath. He's wearing almost the same armor. Not only that, Vayachgor David et Charbo. He even gives him his sword. Now you all know no one has a sword or a chanit aside from Yonatan and Shaul at this stage, because the Plishtim did not allow Bnei Israel to have a sword or to have spears. And it already says this in Perek Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. So when he's wearing the sword, this is the sword of Shaul. So what does Shaul say? You can't fight Goliath on your terms. You have to fight Goliath on his terms. You have to become Goliath. And this is the question. Does David have to become Esav in order to fight Goliath? And when he gives him all this, what does David say? Lo uchal alechet ba'ele. I can't go with all this armor. Right? And he takes them all off. Again, what do we constantly see? What is David doing? Throwing off all the baggage constantly, all the paraphernalia. I don't need all of these things. Right? And what happens? What does he take? He takes maklobiado. He takes his stick. And again, we always know that the stick is the symbol of the shepherd. The stick is the symbol of Moshe. And what does he do? He takes chamisha haluke avanim. He takes stones. Not any metal implement in order to kill, right, Goliath, but he takes stones. The luchot habrit, right, symbolism. A mizbeach is used by these kind of unhewn stones. And what does he do? He puts him in kli haroim. He puts him in his shepherd's bag. So all the images that we have here is of a ro'eh, is of the anti-Esav, is the anti-Goliath. And what does he say, right? And he comes forward. So on the one hand, vayigash el haplishti, David, right, approaches Goliath. And then what happens with Goliath? Goliath approaches, and he's shocked. He looks at David, vayivizehu. Right? He really looks at David and despises David. Where else do we have the word Vayivez Sam Tabchora? Vayivez Esav Tabchora. The language here is going to be, he wears the cherev, he takes off the cherev. What do we know about Esav? What's the bracha for Esav? Al Harbacha Tichyeh. By David taking off the cherev and by using the makel and the stone, he is again shedding that Esav image. When Goliath is looking at David, vayivizehu, like vayivez Esav et habchora, again making this chasm between David and Goliath, Esav and Yaakov. And what does he see in him? Na'ar admoni im yefei mar'eh. Which means, what does Goliath see about David? Admoni im yefei mar'eh. Also, we're emphasizing this message, which means, what does he see about David? He's not understanding what is the image of David, as we saw earlier. And he says, I'm not a dog that you're coming to me with sticks and stones, right? And he says, I'm going to destroy you. And look what David answers, Pasuk Memhei. David says to the Plishti, you're coming to me with a cherev, chanit, and a chidon, right? A sword, a spear, and a javelin. Which means, why is that important to us? Because what is the image of Goliath? He is Esav here. He is the material man. Right? And he says, I am coming, b'shem Hashem Tzvaot. I am coming with the name of Hashem. Which means you are, right? Hayadayim Yedei Esav. What am I coming with you? Hakol Kol Yaakov. I am coming with you, b'shem Hashem. How are we introduced to David? Ni'im Zmirot Yisrael, Yodea Nagen, Nevon Davar. Right? But we're also going to see that David is also Ish HaCherev, a bloodshed. So the question is, how do we see this coming together? And what does he say to him? Pasuk Mem Zayin. He says, why am I coming to you with a makel and a stone? Ki lo becheruv ubechanit yoshia Hashem, ki la Hashem amilchama. Because how is Hashem not going to help? Lo becheruv ubechanit, which means emphasize over and over again that the battle is not won with cheruv Hashem, but Hashem is the one who always wins the battle, which means David is coming out on the side of Hashem, Shem Hashem, the glory and beauty, right, of Dvar Hashem. And what does David do? He comes close, he kills Goliath, Pasuk Memtet, he takes the stone and he takes the slingshot, look at the next page, right, and David is able to outmaneuver Goliath, and he kills him, and look what Pasuk Nun ends with. What is constantly emphasized? We know this in the story. V'cherev En Biad David, which means it constantly wants to say, David is not coming with the Cherev. David is not coming, right, with the Cherev to fight against Goliath. He's coming B'Shem Hashem. He's coming with Kol Kol Yaakov, which means that is the essence, right, of why David is going to be the next Melech of Am Yisrael. But then David runs forward, and what does he do? Vayikach et charbo. I don't know if I have the same printouts as you. Hopefully I do, right? Vayikach et charbo. He takes his cherev. But whose cherev does he take? David takes Goliath's cherev. And what does he do? He takes it out of its holster, and he cuts his head off. And the question is, what is David going to do with this cherev? Is he going to keep it? Because what's the whole image we had of David till now? The cherev ein biyad David. We see later on that what does David do with the cherev? When he has to find the cherev, where does he find it? Where does he get this cherev? He gets it from Achimelech in Nov. We'll get to that in a second. So what do we know David didn't do with this cherev? He doesn't keep it. At this moment, David does not keep this cherev, because he can't keep this cherev, right, and really continue in the derech that he really set up with Goliath. But let's just go to number 10 for a second, right? I just want to make this connection again. We're in Breshit, Perek Kaf Zayin, right? When Yaakov comes to Yitzchak, he feels him and he says, Hakol kol Yaakov vayidayim yidei Esav, right? We all know that. And what does he promise him? Pasuk Mem, al charbecha tichye, right? And what do we see in Mem Aleph, right? Once Yaakov received the bracha, Esav wants to kill him. Pasuk Mem Bet. And what does Rivka hear? She hears the difference, and she says, B'na HaGadol, right? And she tells B'na HaKatan, and then Yaakov has to escape. Now, what happens once all the women sing and dance and say that David is a great warrior? What does David have to do? He has to escape, because who wants to kill him? Shaul wants to kill him. And the question is, what is David going to become? In 11, what do we see? For Yonatan, to show his affection and love for David, what does he give him? Pasuk Dalet, he gives him his clothes. Clothes symbolize Malchut, so this is symbolic that David is going to be king. But he also gives him his cherev, his keshet, and his chagura. If he gave him his cherev, and he has his sword, so what happens in number 12, when David is running away from Shaul, because Shaul wants to kill him, and he says, I don't have anything. And finally, what does Achimelech give him? We're in number 12. David says, do you have anything, chanit or cherev? Because he says, gam charbi gam keli lo lakachti. Which means, what do we see constantly? Everyone is giving a cherev to David, and what happens constantly with it? It's gone. Every time it's getting lost, or he puts it somewhere else, which means the persona of David in the beginning, even though he is a great warrior, right? He is constantly not identified with the cherev. And the cherev is constantly following him. Yonatan wants to give it to him. Shaul wants to give it to him. Yonatan wants to give it to him. And here Achimelech wants to give it to him. And in the end, what really, and this is a big question, at this point, maybe, what should have David said about cherev Goliath? Because what does cherev Goliath symbolize? Such evil, such power, right? And what does he say? He takes the cherev Goliath, right? Because what does he say in Pasuk Yud? Vayomar HaKohen, cherev Goliath, we're number 12, Pasuk Yud, right? Cherev Goliath HaPlishti, asher hikita be'emek ha'ila, right? It's right here. What does he say? Tikach lecha, kach ki en acheret zulata bazeh. Vayomar David, en kamoha kenena. This is the first time that, what is David saying? Give me the cherev. Till now, everyone's trying to give him the cherev, and constantly it's always gone, it's always gone. But here, when Achimelech suggests cherev Goliath, he says, Tenenali. So we're going to see that this is the turning point in David, which means David was at the high point with Goliath. He always is using his voice, Kol Kol Yaakov, he doesn't want a cherev, cherev, cherev. Everyone's giving him a cherev, and it's constantly getting lost. Here, when Achimelech offers the cherev, what happens? He takes it. And not only that, right afterwards, what happens to David? Number 13. When David is running away from Shaul, right, what kind of people are surrounding him? Look at Pasuk Bet, number 13, Pasuk Bet. Kol Ish Matzok. And how many people are joining him? In Pasuk Bet, Perek Kaf Bet, Pasuk Bet, Ke Arba Me'ot Ish. What about Arba Me'ot Ish? Who do we always identify Arba Me'ot Ish with in Sefer Breshit? Esav, right? Esav is coming with 400 men, and Yaakov is davening to Hashem. Which means now we're going to see what is the Tanakh, what is the Navi doing for us. Once David takes this Cherev Goliath, and Shaul is running after him, David is now on the slippery slope, which means, can he maintain his Kol Kol Yaakov? Can he maintain his Admoni in Yefe'inayim versus the Admoni? His Yefe'inayim versus the Admoni. So let's see. In Pasuk Gimel, what happens? Where does David go once he runs away from Shaul? He gets Cherev Goliath, and he has these 400 men who are really Ish Matzok, which means disgruntled and unhappy individuals. Where does he go? In Pasuk Gimel, where does he go? He goes to Moab. What do we know about Moab for David? That's a place you don't go. Because what does Moab symbolize? That's where Ruth came from. Which means, is David going to regress and find that his background and his family and his loyalty is going to be in Moab? How hard did Ruth work in order to leave Moab? And not only that, when he goes to Moab, what happens? Look at Pasuk Hey. God Hanavi tells him, you cannot stay here. Which means you cannot regress this way. You cannot go to Moab. And that's where we have the beautiful Pasuk where David says, Lech avod Elohim acherim, when you told me to leave Eretz Israel. For David, that's the kiss of death. That is going back in a way that he will never be able to return. So God says, you have to go back. You have to go back to Eretz Yehuda. But there's an unbelievable midrash. What happened to David in Mitzudat Moab? Mitzpeh Moab. Look at Rashi number 14. When he was in Mitzpeh Moab, all of his family came with him. And what happened to them? Almost all of them were killed. Which means it was the almost total destruction of David. Which means he almost was totally decimated when he went to Moab. That was a terrible mistake. Let's look further on. When Shaul is running after David, right, what happens? The famous story in the cave. We all know it, right? David is in the cave, and where are Shaul HaMelech and his men, or Shaul alone? He's right in the opening of the cave and doesn't know that David is there. Look at the psukim in Tanakh. We're in number 15, Shmuel Aleph Perakav Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. When all the people of David see that Shaul is right there, Mesechet Raglav, totally vulnerable, right in the front of the cave, what do the people say to him? They say, Hine hayom asher amar Hashem elecha. Right? This is the day that Hashem said, Hine anochi notenet oyvecha biyadecha. Hashem, right, is giving you your enemy in your hand, va'asita lo kasher yitav beinecha. Do whatever you want. And what does David do? Vayakom David, vayichrot et knaf ha-me'il asher l'sha'ul balat. They speak to him, he's influenced, and he goes and he wants to cut his coat. And after that, what happens? His heart is beating very strongly that he cut the coat. And what does he say afterwards to his people? Chalila li me'Hashem, I did a terrible thing, right? That I cut the coat of Mashiach Hashem. And then he gives a huge lecture to his people, right? And he says, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did such a thing. Let's look at all the mefarshim. What does Rashi say about this? What does David feel right after he cuts the coat? He felt bad that he even cut his clothes. Meaning, how could I even touch Mashiach Hashem? Radak also says the same thing. He says, how could I have touched Mashiach Hashem? Even though he's a rodef, we're on the next page, right? Even though he's a rodef, and what do we know about a rodef? Haba lahorgecha shkem lahorgo. You can defend yourself, right? But he still feels bad, because still he's Mashiach Hashem. Let's look at the Ralbag, number 18. Ralbag says, when Pasuk Dalet, number 18, Pasuk Dalet, Ralbag says, Yitachen lefi hapshat shekvar haya ratzon David lehorgo velo hisig mimenu ki ima kanaf vihitcharet achar ze David, which means, what happened here? When the friends and the people said to him, go kill Shaul, when he went to Shaul, and what is the image of what's in his hand? What cherev is the cherev that David has in his hand? He has the cherev of Goliath. He is going, the friends are telling him, right, go cut the coat of Shaul. He goes, really, according to Ralbag, the intent was to kill. But in the end, he only cuts his coat. Because at the last moment, what happens? Right, he realizes that this is a terrible thing. But his intent, his original moment and impulse was to kill Shaul. But in the end, he was only be able to get just a piece of his coat. Either because he realized, I cannot kill Mashiach Hashem, or he thought rationally about it, but the impulse, according to Ralbag, was to kill Shaul. According to the other Mefarshim, he never even thought to kill him. He only wanted to take off his, you know, cut off his coat. And that is what Ralbag says, why his heart was pounding so hard. Which means, how could I have come to this? How could I have come so close to killing Mashiach? What has become of me? Right, says the Ralbag. And that's why later, what does he do? He gives this huge speech and he realizes, if I killed Shaul, also practically it's not so smart because I'm going to be king, and what's going to happen to me? Everyone will find it easy to kill the Melech also. But it's not just a practical thing, says Ralbag. He really realized that this is the wrong thing to do. But he was terrified that his impulse was maybe to kill Shaul. And Malbim has a whole different take on this. The Malbim just says that when he went, he wanted to see if he cut Shaul's coat. If he cut Shaul's coat and he had no reaction, then he thought, okay, this is fine. But if he cut Shaul's coat and he would feel upset about it, that was God telling him, right, that it's not his time yet to be king and he shouldn't kill Shaul first. But what I would like to really focus on is Ralbag's explanation, which means according to Ralbag, really David had that impulse at that moment to kill Shaul HaMelech. And this is borne out a little later as well. Let's look at number 20. When Shmuel dies, right, it says, Vayakom David Vayered El Midbar Paran. Right? David gets up and he goes down to Midbar Paran. And every time we have in Tanakh, when it says Vayakom Vayered, it means there's a chance for a very big slippery slope here. Right? Vayered, Vayered Yehuda Me'et Echav. Constantly, we have that designation. And here is very important for us to see. What happens right at this point? David was watching Nabal's cattle and his sheep without being requested to do so. And David feels, Nabal owes me payment because I watched his sheep, right? Even though Nabal never asked me to do that. But David thinks, I watched his sheep, he owes me, right, that he should give me at least some sustenance. Here I am hiding with 400 men, now he has another 200 that joined him, and I need to be taken care of. We're on my page 7, I think you have the same thing, we're on Pasuk Gimel, right? And the two people that he is involved with, right? He is watching Nabal and Abigail's possessions. And Nabal, right? His name is Nabal and his wife's name is Abigail and she's Tovat Sechel, she's very smart. V'yifat Tor, right? And she's beautiful. And her husband, Nabal, is Kashe V'rama Lalim V'hu Kalibi. Okay. My other Sheorim went into this, so we're not going into this part today. And what does David ask? David sends messengers and he says, look, I watched all your sheep. I'm just asking you for some food. And Nabal says, no, of course I'm not going to pay you back. Of course I don't owe you any food. I didn't hire you, and who are you? So let's start with Pasuk Yud. We're in mine, page 7. What number is it for you? Good, we're all on the same page. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, Pasuk Yud. So what does Nabal answer? He says, Mi David, mi Ben Yishai, right? Who's David, who's Ben Yishai? Everybody's rebelling against their owners and their masters today. I'm going to take, Pasuk Yud Aleph, from my bread and my water, right, and what I shechted, and I'm going to give it to you, to people who I don't know who you are. So when Narei David come back, what happens? Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. David says, Vayomer David la'anashav. David is the one who tells his men, Chigru ish et charbo. What did we read before? Who tried to tell David, of course you should kill your enemy? His friends. And David was just following with what they said. What's happening here? Who is giving the order to kill? David. Vayomer David la'anashav. David is telling his people, Chigru ish et charbo. Everyone should wear their cherev. And what do they do? Vayachgur ishet charbo. They all wear their sword. And what else does it say? Vayachgur gam David et charbo. How many times do we see wearing the cherev here? 3 times. Which means earlier on, the whole image of David and Goliath, he doesn't take a cherev, he doesn't have baggage, he is the one. In the Ma'arav, when we're getting a little closer to David, right, he's panicking, Shaul is running after him. It's the friends who say, this is the day that you could kill Shaul. And even there, it doesn't say that he's using a cherev to cut his coat. But we all understand, he just got that cherev of Goliath. And what do you cut a coat with? With a cherev. You don't cut it with a spear. You need something that you can use sharp as a weapon, but it doesn't say it. Here in the text, what is the Navi telling us? What has happened to David? His anger against Nabal for not paying him back for what he thinks that he deserves, he is now turning into Esav. And it's mentioned 3 times, right? He says to his people, he is the one giving the orders. Everyone is listening to him, and they wear their cherev, and also David wears their cherev. And how many people are coming after him in this pasuk? Right. 400 men, arba me'ot ish, come with him, even though there are 200 sitting on the kelim. What's the image that the 400 come? Because it wants to emphasize this image very, very strongly. And who hears about this? Abigail hears about this, and she has to undo this, because otherwise her and her whole family are going to die. So what does she do? Pasuk Yud. Abigail all of a sudden gears into action. She takes food, right? He asks for food. She's going to make sure he gets food. And she says, go ahead, make sure you catch up to David before I catch up. Now, as she's already coming with the solution, look what David says. We already said he tells everyone to wear their cherev. Now, look at Pasuk Kapalef. David, right? He's already telling everyone, everyone's wearing their sword and they're already marching on their way as it describes one side of the mountain and one side of the mountain. He says, Ach la sheker shamarti et kol asher lazeh bamidbar velo nifkad mi kol asher lo meuma vayeshev li ra'a tachat tova. I did him a favor and he is gomel ra'a to me. This is not the way justice should be, right? He should really be paying me, but understand, he's not giving him food. What does David want to do to him because he's not giving him food? Murder everybody in his family. That's not midah keneged midah, right? You don't kill someone because they're not giving you food. So David is already, even in his secha, what did the Malbim say is so great about David? Even though he has this bloodlust, what always helps him tamp that down? His intelligence, his knowledge, his rational, his thinking, his wisdom. But what is happening here? Even his thought process is not really true. It is not really tzedek u'mishpat, right? He says, because he didn't pay me back, what does he deserve? Death penalty. What does he say? He swears. Ko yaseh Elokim lo'oyvei David. Hello. Originally, what is David's role? To fight Milchamot Hashem. Whose wars is he fighting now? Ko yaseh Elokim lo'oyvei David. Everyone is a personal enemy. Which means he's seeing everything personally. He's supposed to be the Melech of Am Yisrael. He is supposed to think in larger terms. He's not supposed to take personal revenge. V'cho yosif, look what he swears. Im ashir mikol asher lo ad boker mashtin bakir. He swears that he's going to kill every single male in Naval's family. If David does this, then maybe David would never be able to be king. It doesn't matter that you're anointed, because you have to really show with your actions that you are doing Dvar Hashem. And look what happens. She is the one who comes, and she gives him a whole speech. As you know, always in Tanakh, right, what happens? The men always want to make these huge mistakes, and the women always come, right, and they show them the real truth, right, and then they make better decisions, right? Women are great sounding boards, but I would also like to say just flip side as well, right? In a relationship, right, we always need a good environment. We always need good friends, good family, a husband to a wife to a husband. People need good advice. What's happening to David? He's surrounding himself with these people who are constantly giving him bad advice. It's changing even David HaMelech, who's so great. By being in this environment and getting these messages all the time, someone as great as David, who's fought against Goliath, says all the right things, thinks all the right things, acts in all the right way, what do we see is happening to him? He totally disintegrates because of the milieu that he is around. So who is going to change that milieu and give him some good advice to open his eyes that he shouldn't just listen to all the people who are around him, just telling him certain things? It's not healthy for him. Abigail comes and she realizes the only way, as we see most of the women in Tanakh, is to give a speech and speak in a way that the person understands. So look what Abigail says. We're going to skip a little. We're going to go to Pasuk. Now look how she answers everything piece by piece. She says, look at Pasuk Kavchet. She says, right? Ki aso yaaseh Hashem l'adoni, bayit ne'eman, ki milchamot Hashem adoni nilcham. Which means, what was the mistake of David? Whose wars is he starting to fight? His own wars. So what is she trying to remind him? Whose wars do you have to fight? Milchamot Hashem. Meaning, you should fight milchamot Hashem. Right? Because he says, right? Oyvei David. Not only that, Pasuk Kavtet. She says, Vayakom Adam l'rodfecha. One person comes and runs after you and you go all crazy. Who is she really implying? Not necessarily Naval, because Naval's running after him, but who really instigated or was the catalyst for all of this fling of victimhood and of, you know, realizing that maybe violence is the only way out? Shaul. Shaul was running after him. And when Shaul ran after him, he surrounded him with so many people and he constantly felt like a victim. A victim, a victim, a victim cannot think in more broad terms. A victim cannot think positively. If you're always thinking and you're paranoid, right, what was the problem with Shaul? Shaul became paranoid with David and he spent his entire melucha in the end running after David trying to destroy him instead of trying to do what? Build himself up. Right? What is David going to fall into that same pit? David can really implode in this same way. And what is she telling him? Do not. She's saying, one person came running after you, and what is she saying? Right? Your life is really still, right, in a lively sense. Don't cave into this. And what is Hashem going to do? V'nefesh oyvecha yikla'ena, we're in Pasuk Kaftet, betoch kafakela. Why is that so good? Where did we see this word, yikla'ena? What did David use to fight Goliath? A slingshot. So she's saying, Hashem will take your enemies down with a slingshot. Which means, what is she telling him? Don't you remember the David of the Goliath story? Don't you remember all the things you said then? Don't you remember all the things you said to David? To Shaul? When you got out of the cave, what did you tell Shaul? You wanted to kill me, but what did I do? I did not kill you. Because who's going to really fight my battles? Hashem's going to fight my battles. So that is David's mantra. And all of a sudden, in a moment of anger, right, when he's filled with rage, as we saw in the Midrash said, meaning he has that ability. He has that ability to be admoni, to be someone who can do bloodshed. But it was usually always tampered with what? With Dvar Hashem, with the Sanhedrin, with rationality. Let's go on. So what does she say? Pasuk Lamed Aleph. She said, Lo tiezot lefuka ulemichshol lev. If you do this, this is going to be such an obstacle. And this is going to be michshol lev. Sometimes when you do a sin, you can never get out of it. Which means some sins make a stain, right? And this will be a michshol lev. Not just that you made a mistake. It'll change your character of who you are. Because what will you do in this case? Lishpoch dam chinam. If you spill innocent blood. What's the whole thing about David? You could spill blood because he's a warrior, but what kind of blood are you only allowed to spill? Guilty individuals. But if you spill innocent blood, what's going to happen? You can't be melech, you can't be a judge, right? You can't have this stain on your background. Let's look at page 8. So what is David's answer? She's giving him all the great arguments, piece by piece by piece. Now, he could say, you know, I swore in front of all my men. They're all wearing their swords. You little lady are coming in the middle. This is a man thing. Please step aside. Let's finish our job. What are you telling me? But he listens to everything she says. He realizes piece by piece. Her arguments are amazing because it really addresses everything that David is losing right down the road. So David says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Shlachecha Yom. I realize that you're sent by God. And not only that, you really stopped me, Mibo B'damim, and you saved me. Which means because I could have imploded here, I could have self-destructed. So too with Yehuda and Tamar, Yehuda could have self-destructed. So too with Boaz and Rut, Boaz could have self-destructed. But here we see it so clearly. And what happens? He does not kill Nabal, and miraculously, when Abigail tells Nabal about what happened, he gets a heart attack and dies several days later. So God does take care of Nabal for David. But I want to see something else. Look at number 23. The Gemara says, we're in Talmud Bavli, right? Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Even the decision, right, to kill Nabal, she wants to show is flawed, according to the Midrash. What are the earlier Midrash? You see, all the Midrashim are connected on David in this way, and also Esav and Yaakov. What is her argument, according to the Midrash, right? In Masechet Megillah Yudalit, it discusses why is Abigail a Neviah. What is her criticism to David, right? According to the Midrash, when David decides to wear the sword and everyone wears the sword, how did he decide that they're going to go to war and wear the sword? According to the Midrash, what did he convene? A Sanhedrin. He convenes a Sanhedrin to make the decision. What do we see earlier? What's the beauty of that earlier Midrash? How does David always kill? He convenes the Sanhedrin. But look what Abigail said. Yeah, you convened the Sanhedrin. But when did you convene the Sanhedrin? At night. When don't we do Dinei Nefashot? At night. We only do Dinei Nefashot during the day. So even David, we're seeing this wisdom, again, to go back to the Malbim. Meaning, what is always the interceptor for David's impetuousness, for some of these ideas? His logic, his rationale, his mishpat, his tzedakah. But even here, what do we see is happening to his mishpat and tzedakah? It is warped. It's not done correctly. What is Abigail telling him? Which means, even the way you're doing, as we said earlier, mishpat utztaka is not correct. Which means you're not even convening the Sanhedrin in the right way. And also you're saying he's a morid b'malchut. True aspect she's criticizing. You say he's a morid b'malchut, but he's not a morid b'malchut. Because what are you? You're only anointed. But what aren't you? You weren't crowned yet. So don't count your chickens before they hatch, she says. You could still lose the crowning ceremony. You still cannot be king. Don't jump the gun just because you were anointed. And that is amazing. Look at page 9. A beautiful midrash right? And again, you see how insightful it is, right? And we see the Midrash Tehillim. What does the Midrash Tehillim say, right? On Mizmor Nun Gimel. It says, Amar Rav Shmuel, the bolded, Tova haita Avigail David mikol ha-korbanot shebaolam. If David killed Naval, he would never be able to live it down. Which means she was better than all the korbanot. What does a korban usually do? Brings kapara, slicha. But if David did this, he would never be able to be king. So she really stopped him at this unbelievable moment. Right? She helps him reflect. Right? How quickly do we many times think of something? If we don't have someone to be our sounding board, to give us good advice, to make us take a step back, to think rationally, right, our life could be so different. And the pièce de résistance is number 27. After all of these events, the post Abigail story is again Shaul wants to kill David. And what do we see here? David is on one mountain and Shaul and his men are on another mountain. And Avishai, those famous Tsruya brothers, Yoav and Avishai, Avishai says, you know what? Shaul is on the other mountain. What can you do? Go quietly, me or you, and we can kill him in a heartbeat. And look what David does in Pasuk Yud. David says, Al tashchiteu, ki mi shalach yado b'meshiach Hashem v'nika. What did we see in the cave? The friends say, kill him, and what is David doing? He's already running to kill, and only later when he comes back and his heart is beating, then he gives the speech. What does David do right away here when Avishai gives him this advice? He says, he's giving the speech, thinking it out. He realizes it's the wrong thing to do. What did we see earlier with Naval? What did David want to do that second he sees and he's upset? Everyone's wearing their cherev. Everyone's already deciding to go to war. Pasuk Yud. Because what does David say? Right? He says, what's going to happen to him? Yigafenu oyomo yavo. Umet b'milchama yarad v'nispa. Which means, who's going to take care of him? God. He'll be in war. Something will happen, but it's not my job to kill him. Which means, what is David going back to? God takes care of things. God is all powerful. Right? And what does he say now? Chalila limei Hashem mishloach yadim mishiach Hashem. Of course I'm not going to touch Mashiach Hashem. Right? So he says, what should you take from Shaul? Let's go, and we'll take the chanit and the tzapachat mayim. We're going to take his spear and his water. And then we'll come back. What did David do the first time? He cut from his coat, which means it's too close to the actual body, the clothes, the symbol of Malchut. He doesn't even touch Shaul here. He takes the chanit and he takes his tzapachat mayim. And then they go to the other mountain. And when they're on the other mountain, of course, David calls out and he says, do you see what I have in my hand? Just like he did before. Do you see the coat, piece of item of clothing that I have of your hand? And look what he says, Pasuk Yud Zayin. We're in number 27, we're in the last. Vayaker Shaul et kol David. Shaul recognizes the voice of David. Vayomer hakol chazeni David. Is this your voice? Vayomer David koli Adoni HaMelech. When David, I have shivers up my spine. When David is about to kill Naval, the cherev is mentioned three times. He is almost Esav. He is almost Goliath. He is almost imploded and disintegrated. He learned his lesson. He realizes you have to think this out. You have to talk it out. You have to think rationally. You have a long life ahead of you. Don't make these impetuous decisions. Don't be an Admoni, ruddy, impetuous, make these quick decisions. Use your brain. Think. Use your kol, your language, right? Your intelligence, this kind, this aspect of your spirituality. Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael. So finally, in the end, why is David going to be Melech Yisrael? Because just like we saw with Goliath, that he takes the Evan and the Makel, and he says, I'm coming B'Shem Hashem. David finally learns his lesson, and he says, his image, his reputation is his kol. Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayidayim yidei Esav. Thank you very much.